And turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you need a Bible, Case has some Bibles here. Just slip your hand up. He'll make sure you get one. And we're Harvest Bible Chapel, so we want to make sure we have Bibles. One of the young men who was sitting in the front row here today, he says, "You got a Bible?" And I'm like, "Excuse me?" And he goes, "You know, this is a Bible church, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, we got Bibles." So if anyone else needs a Bible, just slip your hand up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. If I can tell on my friend, I will, and I'm going to. And so he was telling his wife he needed some of that Hubba Bubba that we've been talking about. And she said, "You don't need any gum." Right? It's Hubba Hubba. Hubba Hubba.
Hubba Hubba.
All right? That's our series. Last week we talked about wives changing your husbands. This week, as you can see by the title of your bulletin there, Changing My Wife. Changing My Wife. Now, I think that there would be several men that would be like, "I'm all for that." I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because your wife is probably sitting next to you. So let's, just on this side over here, let's just make a little pack, Jerry Lynn, on down here. Tina, all the way down. No elbowing today. They were very good last week. They didn't do any elbowing, all right? Let's make, over here, same rule. All right, Candy, no elbowing today, all right? Just soak it all in. Ashley's thinking, because she's just now walking in, that she doesn't have to live by that, but it's still the same rule. What we've been looking at, though, is marriage. We're concerned about marriage. We're concerned about where our country is in marriage and where God's Word says we should be in our marriages. Last week I said we titled it Changing My Man. But it was kind of a tricky title because he ended up saying in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, that the role of the wife was to be silent and submissive so that their husbands may be one. And that changing their man actually starts with changing themselves. So we had these two major points that we talked about. Here was the first one. Changed women shine with inner beauty and are very precious to God. Changed women shine with inner beauty and are very precious to God. Not just precious, not just plain precious. Isn't she precious? It's very precious. In the Bible, that word is only used three times. Each time it relays the following, ladies. Listen to this, okay? Each time it relays the following. Costly, expensive, precious. God is saying women who shine inner beauty is like someone who is very costly. Someone who is very expensive. Someone who is very precious. Not just ordinary, but very, very precious. And as we strive in our walk with ladies, look up here. As we strive in our walk, I would think that this is what we want to be, right? In the sight of God, very precious. It's the way to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I can't think. In fact, in finding these three words, this is the only time it's mentioned. How special is that? Guys, we should be a little bit, come on, Lord. I mean, don't you have a little very precious for us? He only says that of the wives. They got the stronger, harder role here. They got to be quiet, and they got to be submissive. And God says, if you shine your inner beauty, you are very precious to me. And then we also notice that changed women help God change their husbands. Changed women who change, according to God's word, change their husbands. That's just a precious truth. And I've seen it. Now this week, we're going to look at verse 7. Now, maybe there's somebody here thinking it, and it's probably more like Justin here. I can see it in his face. He's thinking like, my wife gets 6 verses, and I get 1. What is up with that? Right? I mean, I can handle 6 verses. The truth of the matter is, you can handle a 3x5 card. Right? And so that's really, it's a 3x5 card approach, right? If we're honest, we want it short and sweet. And I won't ask you to raise your hands, but maybe your wife just starts on this story and you're thinking, where is this going and will this ever end? You would never say that out loud. Offensive, but You're thinking, when is she going to be finished? Or, wives, truth in church, right? When you need your husband to pick, look up here, you need your husband to pick something up at the store, do you send him with a really long list, or do you just limit it to like three or four things? Right, three or four. Why? Because you know that if they don't have the list, and they just tell them, get me cornstarch, get me baking powder, get me a mango, and get me an onion, they're going to, and if they don't write it down, they don't have a list, they're going to go around the store, and they're going to walk in with 12 bags of groceries. I spent $200. Did you get the cornstarch? Kind of forgot that. So, all that to say this, men, we're just going to concentrate on one verse because we need just the facts. Okay? So, men, the gospel is full of admonitions for us to be doing something. In fact, this week in our Thursday, Jim started a men's luncheon, businessmen's luncheon at the House of Samuel that I've been joining. And we looked at the 21 admonitions for a spiritual man found in Titus and 1 Timothy. That does seem like a lot, but I think we enjoy finding these conquests or these things that we can be doing. One of the ones that really has stuck with me and has really resonated with me, and I know probably resonates with a lot of men, is this idea of being strong, right? My son has been into watching these CrossFit things on Hulu or whatever, Netflix, and we like the idea of lifting weights and being strong and being one of the strongest men, and God says that in His Word. On Joshua chapter 1, on Joshua's worst day, think about this. He was leading the people into the land on his worst day. Moses was gone, right? How comfortable had it been for 40 years that Moses had been the leader and he had been the number two. But now he's in charge. And the Lord says to him, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers to give them. Only, and he says it again, be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do all that was in the law of Moses, my servant, that he's commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law, this Bible, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Goes on to say in the closing part of that, be strong and courageous. Three times in these four or five verses. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. And so we like this idea. It's throughout the Bible, men, of being strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the Scripture says. We like that. But men, how many of us have not been strong where it matters most? We want to be strong, but we've not been strong in our marriages. We've not been strong in the family. There are men here, I know, whether just going to be married soon, dating somebody, or married, they long to have the hot, red coal furnace kind of marriage that they thought they were getting into when they got married. Now think about those moments right at the beginning. Do you remember those first dates? Do you remember picking her up in your 10-year-old rust bucket with a fresh coat of Armor All on the seats and the dashboard so that when she got in, she slid a little bit closer to you? The outside looked horrible, but the inside was good and had a great stereo. That's why we bought cars back in the day. And then when you went to open the door, your hands were still sweaty and you had this little lump in your throat and it felt like you had just gone to the zoo and they released a load of butterflies in your stomach and her dad opened the door. How you doing, Mr. So-and-so? Right. What happened? Life. I don't buy that. Listen, as we get back to this place where we look at God and His Word and we put these things into practice, I want us to get back to those moments. Now, I'm going to do something that may seem awkward at the moment, but as I look around the room, I think you guys already got a clue. Men, I'm just going to say thank you. If you're not sitting next to your wife, you need to do that right now. And if you don't have your arm around her, you need to do that right now. Come on. That's right. It's not PDA. It's the pastor's telling you to do it. So do it. All right? We're gonna just hold her hand or put your arm around her. Maybe that way, when she does go for the elbow, out of love, you're wide open. All right? Now, to the text. You have the text there in front of you, right? The text says this: likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, men, you got that verse right there in front of you, right? You got the verse in front of you? So, you know those forward slashes that you have to do in computers these days? All right, so we're going to do that, and I'm going to give you six things from this text, and we're going to give you the short version, the crib note version, right now. All right? See the word likewise. All right, and then we got the word husband. All right, put a little chevron right there, a little slash. The first one is live with your wife. Then we're going to put another slash, and then you see that phrase, in an understanding way. And we're going to put another slash. And then showing honor. You see that? Okay. And then to the woman, we'll put a little slash, showing honor to the woman, slash, as the weaker vessel. We're going to put a slash there. And then we got a long one here. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, slash, so that your prayers may not be hindered. All right, so as we go through here, six admonitions from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, on how to have a hubba hubba marriage. A marriage that is honoring and living according to God's word. Now, let's go back and look at that first word, likewise. Likewise is important because if you look at verse 1, ladies got the likewise as well, but where does that come from? Peter is writing some thoughts here, and we have to connect the thoughts. So the connecting the thoughts comes back to chapter 2, and we almost take all of chapter 2, but we'll really begin with verse 13 where he's talking about being subject to authority. And what this boils down to, and you can read this and I would encourage you to read it, is this, that just as it talks about Jesus, it talks about husbands, wives, it talks about those that are slaves in those days, those that were masters, it talks about everyone. He says, just as Jesus endured hardship for the gospel's sake, did Jesus endure hardship for the gospel's sake? Yeah, I mean, he went to the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us on our behalf. This text here says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. He was reviled against, but he did not revile in return. He suffered, did not threaten. He says, just as Jesus endured that, for the hardship's sake of the gospel, women are into, and likewise for the women, they're into to endure the hardship of submission. And men are to endure the harder points of marriage for the higher good of God's glory. Okay, so there's this little, like, we get into this likewise, it goes back to chapter 2, and what it's saying is, look at what Christ endured. Likewise, women. Likewise, husbands. Okay? And just because you're not married at the moment doesn't mean that you won't be. So this is good stuff for life. All right. Point two, six things that will transform your wife from 1 Peter 3:7. Here's the first one. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives. Here's the first one. Build a life with her. Build a life with her. And I'm here to tell you that I know that we've got a wedding coming up here in May or so, and it's going to be a great day. Some of you have been married for a few years, and then there a couple of you here. And everything might seem like roses now, but there's going to come a moment when you're like, yeah, I need to be reminded of that. Because for you newbies, you're like, oh yeah, man, we're building a life together. But there comes a certain point where this becomes a reality. The number one issue that happens in marriages, men, is that you forget where you're supposed to spend your time. The number one issue is about time. For years, I thought that my time was to be spent at work. My wife and I would argue week in and week out that I am the breadwinner and I'm supposed to bring home the bacon. Anything in life worthwhile takes time, right? Nothing transforms anything like time. For instance, if I wanted to improve my handicap in golf, it's just not going to happen by me sitting around and thinking about it. I've got to take the time to hire a coach and go play lots of golf. If I want to be a better woodworker, I got to buy the tools. But I can't just let the tools sit there. I got to spend time manufacturing and making it good. If I want to have the best garden in the neighborhood, it's going to take a little time. If I want to have the number one lawn, like you come home after like a 9 to 6 or something, and you're like, "What are you doing, dear?" "Well, I'm going to go out. I know I mowed yesterday, but I noticed a few spots that I missed, and I'm going to spend a couple hours out in the yard and just getting rid of dandelions and things like that." You think that's important? I mean, it's nice to have a nice looking house. And I love to cut the grass, but I try to do it when my wife's at work. I'll take an afternoon and do that so that I'm not missing time with her. Nothing will transform your wife like giving time to her. And all the women said, "You don't believe me, ladies? You want that? Time is the number one currency of our age. More than words, more than compliments, more than money to spend, time communicates to your wife, 'Hey, babe, I want to spend more than 5 minutes with you. I love you. I want to build my life with you.'" "Well, what can I do, Nate? Because I've kind of fallen in this rut. And you're kind of stepping on my toes." Well, all right. Let's hear some suggestions, right? Take a pottery class with her. But don't rush through it. I know my mom still, I didn't see it in the recent move, but I know in moves past, like rushing through pottery in elementary school, we had that whole pottery thing, right? And I got so frustrated, I was trying to make something, I just squeezed it in my fingers and I went, and I'm like, "Oh, it's a hat." Now my mom kept that for probably 40 years. I'm thinking, that's like the worst thing in the world. And she's like, "My little Nathan made this. Just look at the anger in that." Take some time in this pottery class. And then when you're all finished, it's just like, "Hey, let's go to Starbucks." "Hey, that's in Zanesville." "I know." I don't know. Take a class together at the junior college. Plan a date. More on that to come. Time, men. Take her to one of those instant Nicholas Sparks classics that are coming out. Back in the day, we loved our Sunday nights, and we get our cry on watching America's Extreme Home Makeover. Remember that? Right? Because I knew my wife wanted to do that. And I'm not saying I'm perfect in this, but I knew that this was it. And we'd just be looking at each other going, "That was a really great story." Yeah. Build a life with her. And then secondly, notice this in an understanding way. Study her. Study her. The Greek word in an understanding way means according to knowledge. "But I know my wife." "Really? Tell me about her." "Well, you know, she's 5'4", blonde hair. She loves my jokes." "Yep, that's my wife." "No, but what did she get for you last Christmas?" "Did I tell you that she loves my jokes?" "Right. The truth of the matter is, you might be better than that guy, but probably not much. In fact, you don't have to raise your hands, but some of you maybe have done this, and now I've done it. Hey, go ask mom what she wants for Christmas." "Really? Like, I was embarrassed. I'm not telling you. Your dad knows what I want. She would know what I was up to. Your dad knows what I want. The problem was I didn't. It was that, at that moment I started a journal. And I started to pay attention to my wife. And I would write things down. I know. Some of that just blows your mind, right? Like, it's just a little journal. And my wife did something and she's like, man, I really like that. I'm like, okay, great. Where'd you go? I had to do something. And I make a note. My wife likes chocolate. Right? My wife likes chocolate-covered pretzels. Write that down. Until she gets too many of them from me, and now she doesn't like chocolate-covered pretzels anymore. The idea, though, is this. Get to know your wife. Get yourself a My Wife book. And write down some of these things. You used to do that when you were dating. You really got to know them. I mean, you spent all that time, right, talking about, it's just fun to watch. It is fun to watch, right? You see people that are falling in love, and then like they're just talking about whatever, and then they would laugh, and it's like, that's not even funny, but they're laughing, so they must really, isn't that cute? They're getting to know each other. And then for some reason, once we get married, and once we get past all the physical stuff, and then like it's like we forget. But God says, live with your wife in an understanding way. Get to know her. Start your own little notebook. Write down things that you had forgotten. Six things that you would know if you studied your wife. I like this list. It's not my own, but I thought it was great. Six things that you would know if you studied your wife. Here's number one. Nothing means anything but what? Nothing, right? What's wrong, dear? Nothing. Now, how many of us really, like, oh, I'm going to make you raise your hands here because I've done it. When they're like, nothing, you're like, oh, sweet. Nothing's wrong. All right, good. All right, I'm going to go work on the lawn. Good, right? If you studied your wife, you would all know, men, that nothing means anything but nothing. If you studied your girlfriend, you would know that. If you study your fiancé, you would know that. What's wrong? Nothing. That's just like, does this dress make me look fat? Right? Don't answer that one, and you better figure out when she says nothing, there's something going on. Number two, things that bug them that you don't notice. If things you know if you studied your wife, things that bug them that you don't notice. One of the things that I noticed that I had to come to grips with was if we went to a restaurant, I can't sit facing the television. Right? So I would put myself on the other side. Because she would ask me a question and I would be like, oh, I'm sorry, what was that? And what was supposed to be a really good date was lost in the, I wasn't paying attention to you. But I didn't realize that at first. I'm like, what's the matter? We're in a sweet date. And she wouldn't say anything. Things that bug them. Here's some other ones. Like, I love stuffing food in my mouth. Like, if one bite's good in my mouth, two bites is better. I've found out that my wife doesn't like that. How about not putting the trash bag back in the trash can? I'm just confessing all my sins to you guys today. I don't mind taking the trash out, but I hate putting the trash bag back in the trash can. I don't know why, but that bugs my wife. Six things you'd know if you studied your wife. Number three, romance springs up from the sacrifice and planning and not from convenience. Romance springs up from sacrifice and planning and not from convenience. Right? So you're coming home late from work and you see some guy selling flowers in the center of the road and you stop and you're like at the stop sign and he knocks on the window and he's got this wilted daisy and it's like $1 and I'm like, I'm coming home late. This is a great idea. Convenience, got it. No. Romance springs up from sacrifice. How many of, ladies, I'll let you answer this one. How many of you have found yourself in this situation? Husband says to you, hey, you want to go do something? And you say, sure, what do you want to do? And they say, or, I don't know. Come on, guys. You're going to ask that question. Have a plan. Right? Romance springs up from sacrifice and planning. In other words, I was going to work in the wood shop tonight. I was going to watch the football game. But I know it's important that my wife get out of the house, because she's been with the kids all day. So I'm going to sacrifice that, and I'm going to plan to get a babysitter. I'm going to plan the restaurant that we're going to go to. I'm going to plan that Nicholas Sparks movie we're going to go see afterwards, because I love my wife. Trust me, there's a whole lot of sacrifice in all of that I just said. Number four, sex is what I like to call a topping on a Sunday of a good day and not the fire escape from a bad day. God has intended that the sexual relationship between you and your wife is not meant to be a fire escape because you're both having a bad day, but a topping for a good day. Number five, genuine compliments are never wasted. Genuine compliments are never wasted. Now, it's my wife is in the nursery. I wish she were here for this, because I'm going to share a lot about our relationship, and I need her to be the truth teller in this. But I do know that when we got married, she didn't like to cook. She knew I cooked, that was fine, but I'm just telling you, she's an amazing cook. And she's been making some food lately. She knows my love language, right? But what I've learned, though, is, like, I don't want to be fake with this, right? And so I'll wait a day, and I'll slip her a note. And she does something amazing. I try to make sure I tell her over the telephone, or I tell her in person. I always try to make sure that compliment comes in front of my children. Genuine compliment, though. Not for number five, or number four there. If I say this compliment, I'm going to get the topping for a Sunday on a good day. But a genuine compliment. Number six, a little help goes a long way. Amen? A little help goes a long way. I just wrote in my notes, we all know Jeremiah. This dude is fantastic in this, right? I'm like, hey, you want to go? Nope. Why? Well, I got to help my wife today. I'm like, what? What? She's Canadian. Thus, the Canadian reference in every message. No, but he's very, isn't he? Amen. Guys that's been in a small group, you know this. Like, my wife has had the kids for like 10 hours. I'm just going to let her go do something. I'm going to come home and help with the kids. We can't do that. We used to be able to do that. We can't do that now because, right, guys, if you just realize that, I know you had a hard day, but they did too. And coming home and running the vacuum, it usually sits about this high. It's got usually a bag or a canister in the front of it. It's got a cord that comes out of the back of it. You plug it in the wall, and when you go, you do like that, right? You always raise your leg. Maybe just do that. You want your wife to faint? Walk up to her when she's doing the dishes and start helping. Take her hands out of the water, set them aside, and put yours in it. It will be hot. Women like hot water. Six things you'd know if you studied your wife. Live with her in an understanding way, the scripture says. Number three, honor her. Honor her. It's not honoring to call your wife the old lady. It's not honoring to call her the old ball and chain. Do your co-workers know that when your wife calls, get me on that phone right now? I got to take this. This is my wife. When you walk into church, men, are you one of these lackeys who walk 10 feet in front of your wife as she has four kids, the bag and the baby in the hand? And you wonder why she's like not ready to worship when she sits down next to you after you've done nothing. That's not honoring to your wife. The idea in this text, in the language, is that it's a commanding officer giving praise to a soldier with great pomp and circumstance. I had that happen one time in my Navy career. I was a sailor of the quarter for our reserve unit, and the commanding officer had this great big deal. I had no idea what was going on. And he called me up, and he had everyone in their dress whites, and he gave me the plaque, he gave me the mug, he made a big deal out of the fact that I won Sailor of the Quarter. And as much as that heaping of praise on me in public was awesome, getting that Bravo Zulu from my commanding officer, man, we ought to be doing that in public. Do you heap praise on your wife in public? You want to change your wife? You want to change her countenance, her behavior towards you? Give her honor. Give her the Medal of Honor of Marriage for picking up your dirty underwear and you conveniently put them behind the door. Isn't it funny? Like men, we look up here, men, we strive for sports, right? We love sport. Most of us like sport. We do some kind of sport, right? It involves us catching something and then throwing at something. Like if we're playing baseball, you catch a ball, you have to throw it at a target, right? You're playing basketball, you catch a ball, you have to shoot it at a hoop. If you're playing football, you catch a ball or a quarterback throws it to somebody and it's in this like tight little circle and you got to make it. But the one thing that we can't do is take our laundry from the floor and put it in this, all the women are saying what? This basket in the bathroom. And you're thinking, man, something's going to happen tonight. And she walks in and sees, like you vomited your clothes all over the floor. Honor her and get up out of bed and put them in the laundry. Do you honor her before your children? I think this is most important, man. You got little Mickey who just wants to run his mouth at mama. And you come home and she's upset. It'll be all right, dear. It'll be no. This is the queen. And you better deal with that child who wants to dishonor the mother. Interestingly enough, I have a story about that. I remember building these model ships. We lived in Ypsilanti, Michigan. You remember this? We had a guy over, and he was talking about how his mom, you know, he had it off. His mom would dust his ships every week. And I said, yeah, Mom, you ought to do that for me. I didn't know it was coming. But it hurt. I'm like, ah. He said, you will never talk to your mother that way. He showed honor. He showed honor. It's not cute when a 7-year-old wants to lip off to Mom. Listen, Linda. That boy has a problem. It's a life without recognizing and honoring his mother. And men, it starts with you. It starts in public. It starts in private in the home. It starts before your children. Live with her in an understanding way, giving honor to her. She's got the harder work. She's got to submit to you. Silently. Number four, just you got them all right there. Anybody know what the next one is? Protect her. Live with her in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. It's a picture of a clay pot. The Greek word there throughout the New Testament is translated jar, pot, vessel, sometimes property, sometimes a chosen instrument. It's also a picture of the human body. In fact, most commonly pictured throughout Scripture is our body being a vessel or a human clay pot. God is the potter and we are the clay. We get down to the nitty-gritty, though. It's about physical weakness, not emotional weakness. Okay? Not intellectual weakness. There are many women who are brighter than us. In planting the church, there have been moments where I've just felt like I'm an emotional wreck, right? I'm like, we're done. We're done. We're calling Kent. We're done. We're out of here. And she, as the emotional strong one, Nate, God has called us here. Let's just refocus here. Yes, it's a setback. It's not necessarily talking about emotionally weaker or intellectually weaker, but it is talking about physically weaker. James MacDonald, in speaking on this passage, says, weaker vessel implies what? That we're both weak. We are strong compared to things half our size, he went on to say, like turtles. But we are weak. What does this mean then? I think it means that the next time a stranger is trying to get into your house, you don't look at your wife when she says, did you hear that? And say, yes, dear, here's a fly swatter. Why don't you go see who that is? Okay? Here's the thing. Women are, listen, and this is true. Women, they have things that they're scared about that we're not scared about. Take your wife to the top of a cliff and say, let's jump off into the ocean. We're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And they're like, sucker. There's no way. How many of you, Truth in Church men, how many have been driving, maybe driving a little bit fast, maybe coming up on a curve, going out to Ashley and Justin's or something, and your wife just kind of reaches over gently and squeezes your arm? Come on. Yeah. Maybe she has a problem with you sleeping as you're driving. Maybe you get to that dark part of town that you're kind of familiar with, you're okay with. I remember walking in Toledo. Jamie and I were dating, and the first time she'd ever been to Toledo, first time she'd really been to a big city like that. And so we're walking downtown Toledo in this part that I was real familiar with, the Port Side area, but it was a little dark. And she's like, do we really need to go that way? Me being the captain sensitive, I was like, yeah, let's go. I mean, like death grip on my arm. Looking back at it now, I'm like, yeah, she probably was a little uncomfortable. I know from certain barks from my dogs that means that there is a bat in the house. And when I hear those barks, I know that my wife hates bats. I just get the tennis racket, I get the fishing basket, and swing and hit the bat, and it usually lives. Just understand that. But, I mean, can you imagine how insensitive I would be knowing that she hates this? It's something that I'm like, just the bat will go away, just go back to sleep. You know? The principle that I've learned in 10 years is this. I can protect my wife physically by showing patience when things seem dangerous to her as the weaker vessel. Men, it's about patience. I've learned that what that little nails in my tricep means as I'm driving. Be patient. And newsflash, men, she's actually afraid of things that you aren't. And if you want to be Captain Insensitive and sleep where Captain Insensitive sleeps on the couch, than the moment that she is uncomfortable and scared and you just want to look up and say, suck it up, buttercup. It would be better to honor her and protect her and be patient in those moments that she is afraid. There are things in your life that you're not afraid of, that your wife is scared of. Listen to them and respect them. Like, if you ever go away on business, I've learned this, if you ever go away on a trip, you're excited to go. Not so with them. What's going to happen? Use your strength to protect your wife, not control her, men. Let me say that again. Use your strength to protect her and not control her. And manage your awareness in and during conflict that you are protecting her and not controlling her. Number five, share with her. I love this part of the text. Because we've said submission is not about worthiness. Okay? It's about order. And so, in the text, Peter then writes, in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Share with her. Share with her. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Husbands, this is a straight up challenge to do life with your wife in the good times as well as the bad. You are to share it all with her. Now, for some men, it comes easy. Like, I just share everything with my wife. I even share too much with my wife. For some of us, it doesn't come. As I go down this list, this is number one on my list that I have to be better at. In some ways, I want to protect her. In some ways, I just forget. Some things that sometimes you might think shielding is a good thing, but that's like bad. Grace of life. Let's take that phrase first. James 1 says that every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father above. Grace is unmerited favor. Regardless of what you think of the giver, that's God, He gave you grace, men, when He gave you a wife. Now think about how you met. God had His hand in that. And He gave you grace. And truth be told, as you look at it, you probably didn't even deserve the woman that God gave you. I think about my parents' story. They remember these reel. Have you ever seen? I have to tell the generation here because they may not even know what reel to reel is. How many know what reel to reel is? Okay, a few of you. It's like these. They're about this long, and you put the little tape in it, and they would record messages to each other. And Mom sent a message back to him saying, "I don't want to date you anymore," but she forgot to press record. Right, and so he sent it back saying, "There's nothing on this," and she's like, "Oh, we're meant to be together." It wasn't quite that easy for my wife and I. But just, even that's the grace of God. How you met, how God brought you together. Marriage is a divine providence given to men regardless of his attitude towards the giver. Intimate companionship in marriage is one of the best and richest blessings in life, John MacArthur said. Intimate companionship in marriage is one of the richest blessings in life. It's a grace. Your marriage is a grace from God. It's the grace of life. Heir there equals salvation, though. She is an heir, and notice who she is an heir with. Who is she an heir with? You. Right? So this is someone that God has given you by His grace. He's given them salvation, and they are with you. And so you should be able to share anything with them. That's God's plan. I speak with men and women all the time in counseling, and they would say something like this usually. I'm not sure really when the problem started, but I've noticed that we're drifting apart. The worst part is that I feel so alone. You should never, men, you should never hope your wife would ever say that of you, because you failed to share with her. You want that feeling back again? You want that change in your wife? Share with her. Rather than protecting her from the things that are your downfalls and your inadequacies, open up with her and share with her, because she is God's gift to you as an heir of the grace of God. One more to go. This is a pretty big one, though, by the way. Anybody guess what the last one is? Pray. Pray for her. Pray with her. Pray. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Can unsaved people have happy homes? Case says yes. Any others? Some do. I think it's possible. But how much greater should our homes be because we have the Lord Jesus Christ? But, it's not happening without the effectiveness of prayer. Greater and happier homes are found when men are praying with and for their wives. It's hard to pray for your wife, though, men. Look up here. It's hard to pray for your wife when you're not right with her. It's hard not to pray aggressively for your wife for her to come around to your way of thinking. Right? When your way of thinking might be clearly wrong. It's hard to pray for your wife if you're not right with God either. You could be ready and you could just be there and you'd just be like, all right, Pastor Nate always kneels, so I'm going to kneel. I'm going to pray for my wife. I just don't know what to say. You have to be the leader, men. Both Moody and MacArthur in their commentary say that God is reluctant to hear the prayer of men who are not working on their marriage. That's what it means here. Their prayers will be hindered. If you're not right with God and you're not right with your wife, then God is reluctant to hear your prayers. Reluctant in the Greek means this: to cut into, to put an obstacle that stands sharply in the way of a moving object. Peter was saying that failure to lead in prayer blocks your prayers to God. David said, if I harbored sin in my heart, Lord, you would not hear me. Now, we've all kind of grown up in a new age in banking where they have this thing called a drive-up teller. And they have these amazing tubes. I want to ride in one of those tubes one day. Don't you think it would be fun? Like, where'd it go? How that works, you know, it's like a little vacuum there. But what this is saying is, remember, we take that thing, we open it up, we put our check in it, put our deposit slip in it, we close it up, we reach out the window, we put it in there, we press the go, they close, and it gets sucked up. What this is saying is, now it's your prayer, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. I'm praying for all kinds of things, and I'm praying for this and that and the other thing. And I put it in there, and I'm sending it to the Lord. Why isn't it moving? Because God put an obstacle in the way. And it's just stuck there. And it's amazing that men, now they're just like, well, I prayed about it, but nothing's happening. Well, right, because you're not right with your wife. Get right with your wife. Do these principles that God's saying. He's saying, live with your wife in an understanding way. Show honor to her as the weaker vessel. Share with her the grace of life. You are heirs. You do those things, men. I'm going to hear you. And I'm going to answer you. Men struggle with this all the time. Reasons we don't pray for our wife. We don't pray on a regular basis with God. First off, we just don't pray. Not praying on a regular basis with God is saying, I don't need you. I'm in my own strength. Number two, we're embarrassed to pray out loud because we can't say anything churchy enough. When Elder Jer prays, man, it's like he's calling down fire. And if I got to pray like that, oh, I'm so embarrassed. That's pride. That's pride. God wants to hear from you. And it doesn't have to be in a certain pattern and in a certain way. And you don't have to have so many yees or thous in there. Speak to him. Well, I'm faking this whole church thing just because my wife wants me to come. Well, you're a hypocrite. Reasons we don't pray, because real men, I'm a real man, and real men don't do that. Wrong. Real men of God, prayed without ceasing. Well, it's too big of a hill to climb. Praying with my wife is too big of a hill to climb. Listen, that is not Mount Everest. That is an Appalachian foothill. It just is a matter of you grabbing her by the hand and saying, let's go sit down in the living room and let's just pray. Six things that we can do to change our wife. I think all six of those mean that you got to change, man. Case, I would ask if you and Jer would come real quick. I have a couple things for the men that I'd like to give you. Look, men, it's a 2x2 card. I need one. I thought there's 7 questions that I found in Warren Wiersbe's book, Be Hopeful, that I thought were pretty outstanding, and I wanted to finish the service this way. Men, take these. I want you to put them on your refrigerator. I want you to put them on your computer. I want you to be asking this question, maybe have it on your dashboard of your car. Okay? Deal? Here are the questions. You're coming home. You're coming home to your bride. Is she my partner or is she my competitor? This might be a good time to, you know, get a little closer. Nice move there, Justin. Are we helping each other grow spiritually? Well, that's a good question for both of you. Both of those are good questions for both of you. He's coming home. Here comes my competitor or here comes my partner? Are we helping each other grow spiritually? Are we depending on external things? Are eternal things to get us through. Jesus said that we should lay up our treasures in heaven. Nobody can get to those. Today, do we understand each other better? Man, this is specifically for you. Am I sensitive to her feelings and ideas, or am I taking them for granted? Are we seeing God answer our prayers? Well, I don't know because we're not praying together. Well, we can't answer that one until we start praying together. Are we enriched because of our marriage? Listen, this last one's most important. Are we enriched because of our marriage, or are we robbing each other of God's blessing? At the heart of this marriage series is growing the two of you closer, not only to yourselves, but to God. And when you start seeing that your bride is a blessing from the Lord, as you start praying for her, men, as you start protecting her, as you start sharing with her, as you start living with her in an understanding way, getting to know her more and more. She will be God's blessing to you. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And this is one of those moments, and it's been one of these kind of weeks where we look at the message and we get a little bit anxious about what it might be telling us, about what we should be doing because of what we're learning. We look at the long, hard road ahead, and we get a little bit nervous as men. We want it now. We want it fixed now. But we realize that you're at work in our midst for a reason, so that we shine as an example to our community, to our children, to our families, of a marriage that is honoring to you. And so I pray for our men, dear God. I pray that they would be men who, Father, that they would be men who live and build a life with their wife. That they would get to know her more and more, finding out those little things that really make her tick, that really make her excited or frustrated. That they would honor this bride that you have given them. That they would protect her as a precious clay pot. That they would understand physically they are the stronger, and that when she is nervous or scared, she is looking to them for protection, and that they would be patient. Lord, we pray that in those moments when they do fight and argue, that they would not use their strength to control, but they would use patience and love to understand. Lord, I pray that they would share with their wives, who are heirs of salvation, with them, and that every good and perfect thing, including them, comes down from God our Father, in whom there is no shadow of turning, the Scripture says. And that this is God's blessing of grace on their life to complete them. And so that they would share. And lastly, Lord, I pray that these men in our audience would be found on their knees praying for their spouse, praying for their family, that you would do a mighty work of salvation in their children, in their homes. God, for those that are struggling right now in the marriage time, in the marriage life, we pray that you would be comforting them. For the husband and wife that are at odds, Lord, that they would find themselves realizing that they are at odds with you first, for not doing what your word says. For those that are trying to repair, that you would give them the Holy Spirit in greater measure as an instructor to their life, as a convictor of their sins, and a better understanding from your word, the things that they should be doing as a husband and a wife. And for those who are going to be married soon or are dating now, God, we pray that these principles, universal principles for how you can treat young ladies and how you can treat your fiancé, that they would be putting them into practice now in their life. We realize that the best way for a man to change is to have a right relationship with you. And so, God, if there's anyone here today that needs to repent of their sin, repent of their wickedness that draws them away from you, and turn to you in salvation, I would pray that today they would do that. That even now as we're praying, they would pray asking you for forgiveness. That you would be working in such a way in their life right now that they would be asking you for forgiveness for how they have sinned against you. And that they would ask for salvation. for eternal life through Jesus Christ, their Savior and their Lord. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you're going to do in our midst and in our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're not going to close with a song today. There's several things that are going on, including our assimilation team meeting. So if you're part of that, let's get this place tore down. We'll be back here again next week. Men, you got your list. And maybe there's some things that you were planning to do this afternoon that you probably just need to do with your spouse instead, including working out some of those things where you found yourself to be lacking. All right? Be in prayer for Sean and Penny. You are loved. We'll see you next week. Thanks. Okay, so you put those back in the back.